Okay, good morning again. We are ready to roll. How does the sound this time? All right, thumbs up. Way to go. Thank you. So appreciate the 17 of you who have returned for more. I'm surprised that after hearing me once that so many would return for more hearing my voice. But it's an honor to be here. And let's go ahead and open with another word of prayer. Father, we do pray for each other. We pray that you will watch over each of us, watch over our children, our families, our friends, for those who are faithful saints. We pray for those with their infirmities that you would bless them and comfort them. We also pray for those who are in authority over us, Lord, as the example that Paul gave us. We need to have strong men, strong women who are bold and can help us stay focused on you and you alone, Lord. We know that you have the power and the might, and we know that you can do whatever is your will. And we just ask that we might glorify you as we go out and teach others about you and help them to know what a gracious and loving God you are, in spite of the infirmities that they may have, that there is a God who understands and watches over us. And we pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So again, thank you for joining us. For those of you who were here earlier, the first session we talked about passing it on to the next generation. The example I gave was running a relay race and handing the baton from one member of the team to the other, and to be able to make sure that that handoff is, that exchange is done well, so that the other person can in fact run uninhibited, unencumbered, without burden, and be able to run the race properly. And so our charge as members of the body of Christ is to teach the next generation, to teach those who are maybe two generations removed from us what they need to know to become teachers of the word themselves. There are many in my life who have done that, and I will talk about them here in a moment. But this second session, I want to talk about how we can do that. We talked about what and why and a little bit of the how, but I want to talk more about the how in this session. And I'm going to use primarily Paul's teaching of Timothy in 2 Timothy. For those of you who are thinking forward, the third session I will be doing will be on Tuesday evening. And I'll be doing it primarily on Titus. And so we'll get a chance to see how Paul worked with his individuals that he worked with, obviously. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 through 17. It says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine." This is Paul to Timothy. "You have followed my doctrine." Again, he talks about doctrine here. "Manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance, persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured." Now, isn't it interesting that Paul, in talking to Timothy, is telling him, hey, you know how I've suffered? Because he's basically pointing to the fact that you can't be a coward in this. You've got to be bold and you've got to be ready to fight, because you've seen what happened to me when I spoke the truth. He says, out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You know, a lot of people say, why am I suffering? I'm called. I'm chosen. I'm approved. I'm a member of the body of Christ. Why am I suffering? Well, because all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Who do you learn them from? Paul. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise of salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It is the Scripture that makes you wise. Wisdom comes from the Word of God. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're to have instruction in righteousness. Instruction. You know, you can tell a person time after time after time how to do something. That doesn't mean they can do it. I ran a training center in Yorba Linda, California for 6 years. And in that time, we trained, quote, trained thousands of dentists how to place dental implants. I can tell you that that was not training. My title was Director of Training and Education. Well, it was more education than it was training. Training says that you are going to know what to do, but also how to do it, and then you can demonstrate that you can do it, that you have that skill. Taking knowledge and practicing what you know, the instructions that you've been given, and doing it repetitively, that's when you become a skilled craftsman. And so when I coached sports, we would do drills. We would run them in football, run right, run left, run right, run left, and we would do that 4 or 5 times. Not so that they knew how to do it, quite honestly, so that they knew so that they would never do it wrong. Because in a game, if you do it wrong, if you drop the ball, if you, in a race, you drop the baton, you are disqualified or you lose the game. And so in dentistry, if a dentist does something wrong, the patient pays. But so does that dentist, obviously, in this litigious society. And so, you know, when I was growing up, I had a grandmother who lived in the duplex next to us, and we would come home from school, and she would be there making dinner, typically, and she would be making desserts, and she would give us snacks and such. And we watched her do that, and she actually showed us how to do things, and then we did it with her. She also taught us some crafts and making ornaments, and even to this day, I learned and have made a pine cone Christmas tree. Now, I would do it multiple times, tried it myself, but I didn't do it over time, and there was a long lapse of time before I got back to it, and I had forgotten some of the things, like wear gloves, because you use this chicken wire, and it just shreds your hands. Okay, I learned the hard way. But that's kind of the way I am. I am trying to attempting to fix things around the house. Frequently, I only create a bigger problem for myself. Therefore, I end up having to pay somebody twice what it would have been if I had just hired them in the first place. Something that I think I've learned, not to bite off more than I can chew. But one of the things that we have today available to us is a thing called YouTube. And the great thing about YouTube is that you can watch somebody else do something. They'll demonstrate it step by step so that we can better do it. So I had a problem with my swimming pool, and I watched a YouTube video, showed me exactly what to do and how to do it, and was able to go out yesterday and fix the problem. And it was because someone else demonstrated step by step for me. We're called to do that on a daily basis as well. Whether we realize it or not, people are watching. We are called to live God's word and teach others, encouraging them, just as Paul encouraged Timothy. And he demonstrated the necessity of the Word and building upon that, as we just read, that all scripture is by inspiration of God. And so I'm reminded of how he taught the Bible to Timothy. He taught him how he can demonstrate his knowledge of the Word and to be bold, therefore, for Christ, and to create Christ-like followers of that Word. I'm very, very thankful for those in my life who have demonstrated the appropriate Christian pattern that I should follow. And as I said earlier, there are some in our lives who show us a pattern that we don't want to follow, and we recognize, I don't want to be that way. Young man I mentioned earlier that I'm working with, he had a brother, older brother, that had some addiction issues. And, you know, he said, I could follow him. I could be like him. He was a great athlete, but I could be like him. Or I can choose not to be like him. I can choose to do it the right way, and to get myself into the Word and to live out a better life because of it. And so we learn from the negatives that some people do, and we learn not to do it that way. But we also can be an example to those to do it the right way, and as a result, help them to grow in their faith, because they see what we've endured, just as though, as Paul told Timothy, you know what I've suffered. You know how that long suffering of persecutions in city after city after city, and to be able to encourage them and edify them and build them up. There are many who have come alongside of me, I'm reminded of, you know, where that started. It started with my wife Kathleen and her mother Jean, and she challenged me. Jean challenged me, got me involved in the Word, introduced me to Oscar Baker, and Jim McWilliams, and Nathan Scharf, and Barney, and yes, even Kelly, who has been, a coach to me, if you will, in being a good example of a positive attitude at all times. But Ron and Mike and Chuck Asbell and Alan Schofield, all of these individuals have been a part of my life in teaching me. And all the others of you who teach on Pal Talk, or whether you teach on Pal Talk or not, I've heard you at conferences, and I've learned from you, and I've grown because of it. And I also even learned from, as I said, my grandmother, who gave me my first Bible and told me that I should read it. I think I put it on a bookshelf and didn't pay attention to it until one day I was challenged, as I said, by Kathleen and her mother. And I picked that back up to find out who this Jesus Christ was, and saw their witness, their walk, and said, I hope to be like that, maybe just a small portion of like them. But they've been a tremendous, tremendous witness in my life, and I love them dearly for it. We are called to live out God's Word, to teach and encourage others, just as Paul taught and encouraged Timothy. So let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 15. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all exception, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul could say that because I hadn't been born yet. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So a pattern, a way for us to walk, a mold, if you will, a template. And so if we could be a template of Paul, if he can draw this pattern for us and we could fit within it and be more like Paul, then we would be more like Christ, because Paul said, I want to be Christ-like. And so as we move then to 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 through 14, It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience and without ceasing. I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Paul prayed for his prodigy. Paul prayed for the young man that he was coaching, that he wasn't always with. Timothy traveled with him extensively, but Timothy also was sent back to Ephesus to teach and to coach and to guide those and to watch over them. He says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, in verse 7, and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Here again, Paul is telling Timothy, look, this is not an easy road. You are going to suffer afflictions if you are going to teach this good news of Christ. Verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which is committed unto him against that day. I am not ashamed, even though he's being persecuted. He was willing to boldly say, I am a follower of Christ. Now, remember Peter at one point denied that he was with Christ. Denied three times. And when the rooster crowed, he was reminded of what the Lord told him, that you will deny me. Three times, and then the rooster will crow. And Peter did that, even though he had been warned. And he then saw the Lord suffer that persecution. Knowing that, it encouraged him, it emboldened him, knowing that he would suffer the same death. And he did. So we're told. Verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing which is committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelt in us. Hold fast the form of sound words. We're going to look at this a little bit more on Tuesday, but the word sound is not the tinkling of a bell. Sound means whole or to be healthy. It means to be in a healthy state or of a sound mind. We hear frequently, well, sound in body and in mind. And so we're to hold fast the sound words. Well, what words? Well, they're Paul's words. It says, which thou heardest me. Well, what was so unusual about Paul's words that Timothy needed to hinge on? Think on that one. We'll get more to that on Tuesday. But he said, keep that which was committed to you. He was to guard. He was to watch over that. And he was to do so with the strength of conviction. And we see that again in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and then we'll skip over to verse 5. It says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. So here again, what you've heard of me, tell others, but you've got to be strong in the grace to do so. It says, commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Striving lawfully, again, this is back to the allusion to the Olympic Games. You have to stay within your lanes. You have to follow the rules. You have to obey the authorities that are over you. If you are going to strive to be a champion, a master of your sport, a master of your profession, you have to do it the right way in order to be crowned. He said, but you've got to commit this to faithful men that they will teach others. Paul wasn't teaching Timothy to be just another teacher. He was teaching him to be a teacher of teachers. And that's something that I've aspired to do, is to not just be a coach, but to be a coach of coaches, not only in sports, but in the word. And so teaching others that they might know this incredible, incredible mystery that we've been given is so important to me, to make all men see the mystery. And so we're to teach others that they may teach. I have been blessed with the fact that having coached over 14 years at a small Christian school here in Phoenix, Phoenix Christian, football and wrestling, that I have three individuals that have gone into coaching themselves that I'm aware of. I don't know how many more, but at least three have become high school football and or wrestling coaches, head coaches. And I have three that I'm even more proud of who have become pastors or youth pastors or music pastors. And that is an awesome thing to look back and say at some of these kids that were skinny little freshmen, you know, picturing them as seniors and being champions was kind of hard to do, kind of far-fetched. But seeing some of them be pastors, that was even harder. But I look at myself in my life, I mean, I would have never, ever thought that I would become a teacher of the word. And trust me, those who knew me in high school and in college would have never thought the same as well. I had lunch with a friend of mine who is a Christian as well now, and has had some challenges in his life. And, you know, it was just a blessing to be able to know somebody else. But I knew him in high school, and I would have never suspected that he would have ever become a Christian. So the Lord doesn't choose the really, really, really outstanding, amazing, perfect people. He picks the thieves and the losers and the weak and the infirm and individuals that I hung with, that I am one of, and yet by grace are we saved. And we are therefore to teach us. So he says to commit this to faithful men, to teach others, and that is something that we should take to heart as well. 2 Timothy 2, let's look at verses 14 through 18. He says, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings. So he's got a contrast here. He's got rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun the negative, the contrast, profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred and overthrow the faith of some. There are individuals in our lives who we have held up as people of high esteem, people that we have thought very highly of and wanted to follow. Some of the individuals that I mentioned earlier have been individuals that I've held high, in high esteem. One or more of those individuals has begun to believe in what I would consider to be vain babblings. And in fact, they have erred in the truth. And it is because they swerved. They were distracted, pride entered in, and they got to a point of, I know something you don't know, and that makes me special. And as a result, that pride brought them down. And so we're to be approved unto God. We're to be a workman, not to be ashamed. A craftsman, a master we saw earlier. But we're to study, we're to be diligent to be approved unto God. Are we looking for God's approval or man's approval? Question we have to ask each other and ourselves every single day. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Oh, apt to teach, and to be patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. The snare of the devil. So what is that snare? Well, it's subtle non-truths. He takes the word and he puts a not in front of it. Thou shalt not surely die, he said, instead of thou shalt surely die. He just put the word not in. And all of the religion that we call Christianity today believes it. When you die, you're not going to die. You're going to go right to heaven. No. When we die, we're going to be turned back to dust. And at his appearing, at his manifestation, we who have known the Lord, we will appear with him. And that's our hope. That's a different hope than what Israel had. And we are not to go backwards. We're to go forward. And not to be one of those who errs in the truth. And that's as coaches, as mentors, as teachers, that's an important piece. You know, those of you who have been teachers, you grade papers, you circle the errors, you might actually write the right answer or spell the right word out. And I was blessed to have two people, actually three people in my life that were teachers. Gene, who I mentioned earlier, Phyllis, who I mentioned earlier, and Mel, who is constantly holding me accountable and constantly showing me the red marks in my life and letting me know, wait a minute, that's not said properly. Either it's not quoted properly, it's not grammatically correct. You need to change this to be a more effective teacher. And who but a great teacher would know that? And so I truly appreciate Gene and Mel and Phyllis for what they did and how they reminded me of the importance of being accurate, not just passionate, but accurate in what I say and what I do. And so thank you for that, all three of you. And so let's go on to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to read verses 11. And then skip down to verses 14 through 17. 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. There it is again. He told him, you know my doctrine. You know my teachings. Manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord deliver me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Why am I repeating that? Because it deserves repetition, because that's how we learn, by stating something multiple times. Yesterday I sent a verse out, and I have the ability to text out to about 50 some odd individuals, something that inspires me each morning. And so about 50 individuals are on my long list, I guess. But one of them is my son. And it had to do about honor thy father and mother. I did so in honor of Father's Day. He is a father of five himself. And he responded back and said, you quote this verse five times more than any other verse every single year. Ha ha. And I responded, I said, yeah, anything that good, anything that right, needs to be repeated, deserves to be repeated. And he didn't respond. But I hopefully made my point. So I'm repeating this because, again, it takes long-suffering, charity, and patience. And Paul's reminding Timothy, you know, you saw firsthand my doctrine, my manner of life, how I acted towards people. And I'm hoping that he was in fact gentle unto all men, patient with them, and in meekness instructing, not in pride, but in meekness instructing those who even oppose themselves. As I said before, loving the lovable is easy. Loving the unlovable, praying for the unlovable, that's the hard part. And that's what we have to buck up and go forward. Let's go down to verse 14. It says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom you've learned them. Who did you learn it from? Paul. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Again, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God as profitable for reproof, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, or fulfilled, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So it is this book, this word of God that we have available to us, that we are to use as a manual, as an instruction manual, to teach the next generation. Handing that book off as a baton isn't sufficient. Teaching them how to run the race properly, teaching them that there's going to be hurdles sometimes thrown in their path, teaching them how to go over those hurdles, and in some cases go through those hurdles, are the art of survival in this world, a world that has persecuted Christians in many countries over many, many, many years. And that's a tough one. Let's move over to Colossians quickly, and we'll come back, and we're going to finish up here with just a couple of more passages. Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. This is the contrast, again, that I told you about, that Paul frequently uses to teach with. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete, you are filled up in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We are complete in him. What an amazing, amazing truth. Now, complete has to do with the filling up. There's another word for perfection, but it's pleroma. And it has to do with taking a container and completely filling that container until it's full. And once a container is full, you can't add anything to it. But Christianity says that this Christian faith of ours isn't full, that we have to do something. We have to take action. We are responsible for good works that we have to do to be able to be accepted by Christ. No. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us and he died for us. Is that sufficient for you? Because if it's not, and you're trying to do works, especially those who are following the pattern that was given the Jews, which were the Ten Commandments, then grace doesn't work. That means that you are trying to work through your own salvation, and that's not accurate. We are to demonstrate our faith, demonstrate our godly desires in Christ Jesus by our daily walk. That's true. But by faith are we saved. That comes by grace. And that's it. And that's sufficient for me. Now, can I start living godly? Can I be a better person every single day? Of course I could. And that's what we're supposed to strive to do. But we are already filled up. We are already complete. We are already like a container filled with water, so filled that you can't get another drop in. And if we did, it would be nothing but waste. So a great, great truth for us. Let's finish up in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. It says, I charge thee therefore before God. Who's he charging? Timothy. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season. out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. What does reprove, rebuke, and exhort mean? It has to do with warning. And Paul did that. The guard on the watchtower of the wall would warn the people to shut the gates and prepare for battle if they saw the enemy approaching. And so we are to reprove and rebuke those who could be the enemy if they falter in their knowledge of the word and are erring and are teaching others that error. And so he says, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure what? Sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. There again is the allusions to these Olympic Games, that people would understand the analogy that he's using. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. He's telling Timothy to fight the fight, to endure, and that word endure has to do with long suffering, and to make sure that others understand what sound doctrine is, and that sound doctrine is what Paul was teaching Timothy, not instead those fables or the commandments of men, but instead sound doctrine. And Paul was telling him that you're going to endure affliction through all this process. Paul was ostracized by the Jews. They attacked him with no grounds. He taught them the truth out of the law of Moses. And then they attacked them and said, you are trying to make us go away from the law of Moses. Well, that was not the truth. And they got the Romans to imprison him. And then Paul asked that he could appeal to Caesar, which was to his doom. But fortunately, he was therefore able to witness to him and to all those in the palace that he was imprisoned in. And so now at the end of his life, he's able to say, I fought the good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And we are to do the same. We have to finish. Now, for those of you who have watched the Olympics, have watched track, who have seen runners run, and whether it was a sprint or whether it was a longer race, the longer races especially the marathon. There are those who quit very early on, for whatever reason. There are those who hit at the 24-mile mark, and it's a 26-mile race. They hit the wall. And when they hit that wall, they may not finish. Paul's saying, we've got to kick it in high gear for that last 2 miles. And you'll see that in some of these races. You'll see individuals that'll be back in the middle of the pack, and then all of a sudden, they just explode and pass everybody and finish strong. And Paul's telling us to do the same thing. We have to finish strong. And in order to do that, we have to pass the baton on to the next generation, because the race continues. The race doesn't stop when we stop. The race stops when all men might know the mystery. Paul talks about sound doctrine. The word for sound is whole and good health. See this in Luke chapter 15, verse 27. It says, and he said unto him, thy brother is come, thy father hath killed the fatted calf. This is about the prodigal son. Because he hath received him safe and sound. So the word sound there is whole or in good health. So even though he had gone and squandered his father's living. He had returned, and fortunately, he was healthy. So sound in sound doctrine has to do with healthy or whole. Oh, that's right. It's complete. Whole. It's whole doctrine. It's sound, whole teaching. And Paul was handing that off to Timothy so that Timothy could continue, so that Timothy could go on and do what? Teach others to teach others. And that's our challenge. That's what we've got in front of us. And so, you know, who are you teaching? Who are you mentoring? Regardless of your age, regardless of your health, who are you inspiring to continue to go on and to stay in this word and to understand these truths? Because there are so many out there that subvert with untruth. Not that they're lying, but they've taken things so out of context, they could actually use a verse to actually start a whole new religion. Happens all the time. People take certain verses out of context that weren't written for them, and as a result, they err. And they teach others that error, which causes them to stumble. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be the person that gets others disqualified from a race. But instead, I want to teach them to run it properly, to make that handoff clean, and to redeem the time to finish the course, to finish the race, to complete it. And with that, I've completed today's study. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for those here who are faithful and even on Father's Day have joined us and been part of this message that you have inspired, that you have brought forth. And I pray that those were words of your wisdom through your Holy Spirit and that they would touch others to be motivated, inspired to do your will, that you might be glorified and no one else but you. And we're thankful for that. We're thankful for our fathers. We're thankful for those in authority over us, Lord. We are thankful that you have given us this truth, this sound doctrine. We praise and exalt you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.